Small Studio is made possible by a grant from the Herbert Simon Family Foundation and with support from Sun King Brewery.
What up, brothers and sisters? We're brother or brother. We're from Indianapolis, Indiana. Space is the place. We're gonna play some introspective, beautiful songs. Beauty's an eye of the beholder, and that's why you're driving in your car. This one's called Grab the Rope. Let's break them in! We're screaming. This ain't a joke. Hey, we're just 318. For your tax bracket fee. Lift them up, yes. Watch these goons make a beat. Now grab the rope. Grab the rope. Grab the rope! Grab the rope! All right! Two. Send a fist. Best getting off. Passing paid around. That's a river to a daughter. Maybe you thought some else. Well, ties clean. Nobody meek and mighty. So to wash your collection fee. Oh, yes. Made a mistake. Grab the rope! Grab the rope! Grab the rope! All right! Let's bring them in! Thank you so much, radio people. Clap, yes. Keeping your hands on the wheel. This song's about my wife. She's as hot as the sun. It's called White Dove. Said I got a good love, and I can't let her go. She's like a white dove, it's pure snow. Said I got a good love, and I can't let her go. She's like a white dove, it's pure snow. Woo-hoo-hoo. an olive branch and a piece at a side. A love so pure, well, I ain't got it with a high. Said I got a good love and I can't let her go. She's like a white dove, she's pure soul. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Ah, ah, ah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Catch it already. Oh brother, oh brother, thank you so much. This is my best friend on the planet. Oh man, Warner Swope's back here on the drums. And you might be out there listening and wondering why. Why it's so beefy. Why it's so sweet. There's just two of us. That's it. Me and you. You're looking good back there. This is our last sweaty hit for the day. It's called 16 Flowers, thank you so much. Flowers! you so much. Thank you, WFYI. Hugs and kisses. Thank you so much.
Stay tuned next for an interview with Brother O'Brother from 90.1 WFYI's Jill Dittmeyer.
So I've heard a little bit about both your backgrounds, where you grew up and everything. How did you two meet?
This is a fun story, and it actually has to do with Lowe's. You know, we talked about that a little bit.
Do you want me to tell it?
Yeah,
I feel
you,
like
you
I tell
it the best. You
feel like
give
I
it a
tell
lot
it
spice.
So well.
Yeah.
So I was starting this band in its earliest formation, and I already had written songs, kind of knew what I wanted to do, had a vision more or less, but I was looking for kind of like-minded people. I think that makes things a lot easier in life when just people are kind of on the same team. And had a drummer. He ran a small business. It exploded. He's like, hey, I got no time. I'm like, that's great. No problem. And so I was looking for a drummer. I went into Lowe's to get some stretching rope cut for running. And I went there. And so I call, there's a little button you press and it alerts someone. And this guy comes up to me and he's cut my rope. And I go, hey, man, you look kind of familiar. And I go, were you in a band or something? He's like, yeah, I was in the Nuclear After Party. I was like, oh, and I was in this band called Red Wire, what, yada, yada, yada. And a couple years prior, we had played some shows together, like three or four in a row. Neither one of our bands were very good. And I think like our lovable mediocrity brought us together on a lot of similar bills. But I remembered.
that's really good.
Is that a good?
Yeah. I was gonna say we didn't intentionally book those shows together. Just like, kind of all like, the mid-grade bands get thrown on the same thing.
So that's where we were. And I was like, hey, I'm doing this new thing. Yada yada. I mean, we couldn't even remember each other's names. He just had such a beautiful face. And I was like, do you want to give it a try? And he's like, sure. Like total happenstance. And then like 2 weeks later or something, we tried it and we're like, yeah, let's do it. And that was it. There's like a million reasons this, like our band shouldn't exist, our beautiful friendship, none of that.
Yeah, and we weren't really friends before, so we've become best friends over just out of just traveling together so much.
And it's been cool. Like our wives have become like uber tight, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's funny to think that like one of the songs I guess I auditioned with or whatever was one of the first songs you wrote, and we still play it pretty frequently, like most shows.
Yeah, so that's wild.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I was just thinking about that yesterday.
So how long has the band been together then, the two of you?
Like five is years. The official. So it was like June 13th, I think, is when we released our first thing.
Yeah, so we, as a two-piece, it's been like 4 years.
Yep.
We had a super good friend who was a bass player early on, and then he had to do some life stuff. And then like it was just like we were thrust into being a two-piece, and we're like, hey, let's just stick with this for a while and see what happens. And we've just never looked back, and it's been great.
Yeah, people ask a lot of times, like, do you need a bass player or whatever? And we've got a lot of friends that are really good at bass, and we'd love to, you know, we could have them play a show with us or something, but permanently it's just easier to travel and book things with just the two of us.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. So what is your secret to making just the two of you a success?
Well, for me, I have to tune my drums a little lower on some things, and I had to get some like particular heads this week as I was like talking to the guy at the Guitar Center. I'm like, okay, listen, I'm in a two-piece, I need stuff that's really going to be low and dry and cut through, and so that's on my end what I have to do. And Chris's is a little different.
For me, it's just been the marketing piece, and then like I guess sound wise has been I run a guitar rig and a bass rig, just so that I can get all that bottom end out of a bass and then, you know, the higher stuff out of the guitar. And then, just being willing to hustle, like, and not being above doing anything, you know, and, putting a smile on your face. And that is with all of our record sales and everything, something we say all the time, and it is so true. Being nice is good for business. And I think being nice is attributed to our success as much as anything.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you both, in your regular day jobs, deal with people all the time.
Right.
So yeah. you come to that niceness in a real way.
Yeah. I always tell my wife that, like, you know, being in a band and then being working in a public forum where I'm around people all the time, it can be somewhat exhausting. Like when I'm home, I just kind of want to just be home and with my family and not have a bunch of people over. And I used to be a real people person, but I think just always being around people. And like I said, you know, it's we want to be nice, and that's part of, like, we just want to be good people to people. But that in itself sometimes in this current climate can be exhausting. And you just do it and you be the best person you can be, you know.
Give me an example of being nice as the band.
Well, a lot of, you know, we've played with bands where they'll just, like, go and hang out in the green room the whole time and not really, like, they load in, they hang out in the green room, and then they play their set and they load out. And that's, you know, they don't talk to you or they don't hang out with the other bands or
just being friendly.
The people there. But that's the best part for me personally, is when the people are coming to us, and, like, we run our own merch table and everything. We always want to be around the people that are enjoying our music, because why wouldn't you want to?
Yeah, shaking a hand, asking for a name, and, like, especially with us, like, running a record label at the same time and bringing other bands on, so many of those bands, probably half of them, have come just because we've been touring, seen the band, or been friends with some people that we really liked, and, like, it was good, and just being friendly. Like, something I always think about when someone comes and buys something from us, like, it's like, hey, if they're, you know, like, hey, we're great or whatever, like, I shake their hand. I ask for their name, because it's just like you want to put that name to a face, and you might even remember next time you're in that town. And, like, that means something to people. I know it would mean something to me. And, yeah, just common courtesy.
You said you have a big fan base in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We do.
It comes from, so we played, they have this big festival in Appleton, Wisconsin called the Mile of Music, and they do it every year. We played, what, 3 years in a row?
Yeah.
And I think that's the only reason really not probably playing it this year is just because they don't want to
siphon
people. Yeah, they don't want to have the same bands all the time. But we played it the first year, and people really dug us, and we were something different and new in that area. And part of what has built that fan base, though, is we didn't just play that festival and then be done there. We travel there a couple times a year. And that first year, we went back like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And just kind of built those relationships. And now every time we go there, just about every show we play there sells out. And it's just, it's all with people who, a lot of the people we now consider friends. Like, they're not just fans, but they're people who, like, I'm legitimately excited to see when we go there.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, let's put us up in your house. I'm like, sweet.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's play.
We'll let you put us in your house.
Play some video games at your house.
Yeah.
Where else are you targeting then to go and perform?
I mean, we've, obviously, throughout the region, like, we're touring all the time. We do about 80 to 100 dates a year. So we're, you know, up in Detroit and, like, Chicago, and we're in Ohio a lot. Ohio's got so many great cities that you could just, like, you could almost do, like, 5 or 6 days just going from top to the bottom. So we're just regionally super busy. And then, I mean, we went out west all, from Cali all the way up to Seattle last
November,
Thanksgiving time. So super busy. And then because of we have a lot of, like, really crazy vinyl that's built us a, it's weird to say it, like, almost a, I don't know how big, but an international market where we've shipped records to, like, over 20 countries, and we've got people regularly in, like, places like the UK, you know, dropping, you know, $100 or more on different packages we have, like, regularly. And just the power of the internet and marketing and all that stuff is just, it's made a huge difference. So when we show up in a town maybe we've never played before, because of our vinyl market, we show up and there's already people there. They're, like, so excited to see us, and, like, it's the weirdest thing.
Do you do the touring because you like that, because you are the nice guys and you want to get in with the fans, or is there just not enough around Indianapolis and Indiana to keep you here?
Oh, there's plenty. We always talk about, you know, people talk about oversaturating the market or playing too many local shows. There, what is it, like 9 million people?
There's a lot. I don't know if it's that
There's
many.
A lot of people in Indianapolis area and the surrounding areas. So you're not going to oversaturate yourself. There's still people in Indianapolis that haven't heard our music or maybe don't care to, but... So I don't think it's that. It's not that we want to get out of Indianapolis, but we want to, I mean, there's plenty of awesome places to play here. We just want to do more.
That's just part of that, that next, like, part of being a band, like, is, you know, once you is, you know, the, I don't know, the little boyhood dream is, like, you know, you get out of your own town and you see, you know, what's out there in the world, and you make more life experiences, and your life is enriched by that, by meeting new people and stuff. So, I mean, that's just, that's just what you do, I guess, you know, like if every band on earth could just play in their local town and just somehow become famous and make lots of money, I'm sure we would do it. It's just not the way the world works. So it's, but yeah, just, it's just the, I guess it's just the thing you do. And
yeah,
we don't know any different. So
who creates the music? Both of you? One of you?
Definitely. So like I write, I play guitar and I write like the riffs and that part of the song, like the lyrics. But like, I mean, I'm not playing the drums. There's like this weird thing. Sometimes I think people are like, oh, you know, so-and-so plays guitar for that band. He writes the songs. I'm like, well, there's all these other people in the band that he is not playing those instruments. So Warner definitely writes the beats, and it's very collaborative for us.
Yeah, being a two-piece, it has to be collaborative because
yeah.
The drums can't just, they just can't just sit. You know, there's a lot of great drum beats where you just lock into the drum beat, and that's what you do. You do the beat under everything, and that's all you got to do. But with a two-piece, it has to be a little more than that. There's got to be, the drums have to be a part of the song, not just
the
thing
background.
That keeps the rhythm. Yeah,
we try to really focus on dynamics, where it's like, when it's a smaller, quieter, cleaner part, like it needs to be super at that place. And then when it's big, just be as dumb and big as possible. So,
because you tour so much, do you make specific time to sit down and write music, or do you just write it when it happens?
Sometimes, so it can go either way, because sometimes we'll be, you know, we're going to be like putting together an album or something. Chris will be like, hey, I've got a couple of songs. We really need to put this album together. Let's take a day and just really write this stuff. Then other songs, and some of my favorite ones have come from just like, we're like scheduled to play a really long set somewhere or something, and we're like, man, how are we going to fill all that time? And Chris will be just like, all right, I'm going to play this riff and just like, let's do our normal thing. And so we'll write there on the spot, write something, you know, even in a show. And that's some of the best songs have come from that.
And we do that just like once in a blue moon. Like it's just kind of fun. It's like therapeutic because you're like, all right, you've got all these songs that you're used to doing and stuff. And it's like, all right, there's, you know, we can do this. There's no rules. And like if it bombs out, like it's okay. We don't have to keep it.
We never have to play that song again.
Yeah. So for me, I've normally just got the guitars laying around my house and stuff. And the thing I think that helps us the most is where we record at Threshold Studios, I schedule time basically every like 2 or 3 months. I'll just schedule at least like 1 8-hour session. And so that keeps us accountable to be like, hey, this is coming up. You need to write some songs. And it helps. It's kind of like a forced, you know, like keep yourself busy so that like you have something to contribute. Because I can tell when we haven't been staying on top of it, because we've had a couple sessions where I'm like, all right, we wrote 3 songs, and 2 of those were just like immediate trash.
Threw the money out the door on that one because it was a waste.
No good.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you're starting to run your music more like a business.
We're trying to.
Yeah.
It's like I think just being, it's weird. Being responsible is fun. You know, like like it's just because of what comes from like, you know, just hard work. Like if you want something to be successful, and everyone's definition of success is different, but like, for our like vision of what success looks like to us, like you have to, and you know, you want to imitate the behavior that you want to model. So if you are fans of some really big successful bands, well, you want to imitate the behaviors that they're putting in to be successful. So just trying to do those same things.
So what is your vision of success then for you guys?
Ever evolving.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I think that's life. Like what you know, when we first started, if you would have told us some of the things that we've done now, we would have been like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be enough for me. But like, and it would be like part of just being content with the life that you're given. But I think part of any like artistic venture or just even career-based, something you're pursuing is like what used to be your bar for success is, you know, ever changing. You're like, all right, I've mastered or done well in this field, and like now I want to take whatever that next step is, you know. So I guess ever evolving.
Yeah, so we always talk about like, you know, once this band has run its course and we're off doing our own things and we're done making music or whatever, you know, that'll eventually happen. And every little cool thing that happens along the way, we think about like at the end of the road of this adventure, like when you look back, these are gonna be things like, wow, that happened. That's something super cool that happened. And for, you know, there's so many different things that has happened, like going out to LA and doing that little run in California and Seattle. That's gonna be something to look back and just be like, that was such a cool thing that we got to just fly out there and do that. And you know, doing the small studio session here
super fun.
Was something that for me was I've always wanted to do that. You know, I hear people on the radio.
He just wanted that. Wanted that drop really bad.
Like saying their name. And
we listened to a lot of like WFYI, and so it's just like
Yeah. So
I didn't know you wanted to say that so bad.
Oh yeah, it's been like this piece of paper in front of me is like the coolest thing, and it just and that's something like I'll be able to say, wow, I did the WFYI thing, and that's a cool thing that we did, and. We're getting ready to play the regatta big boat race in Madison, Indiana, and that's going to be something like I would have never in a million years been like, you know, one of these days I want to be in a band and play this giant boat race.
Play boat race.
But it's going to be so cool, and I think when, you know, after it's done, we're going to look back and just be like, those are all really awesome things.
All those people.
That we got to do.
And boats.
Yeah. Like these are things that we got to do because we put in the time and, you know, hit the road and. And it'll be cool to look back and be like, that's stuff that we did. And all the records we have. I think that's another thing. You look back and you're like.
Can't believe people bought all that.
Yeah, initially you want to just make one album. You're like, the first thing our band wanted to do is put out an album. And then now we've got three full lengths.
Three
and
full lengths. We'll
two
have two EPs
and
like six or seven singles. And these are all on vinyl.
Yeah.
And people keep buying them.
And, I've got all that stuff in my house. And just to like flip through that stuff and be like, wow, this is stuff that we made. It's just cool. So the goal, so I guess the long story there leads to the goal is always changing of what success looks like. But I think the end goal will be just to be able to look back and see all of the cool things that we've done.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jill.
Very nice.